everyone. Jason Malone here. Welcome to the Jesus on Display podcast. Before we begin today's content, I wanted to say thanks for supporting us here at Fellowship Greenville with your gifts and your generosity. Because of your giving, we get to share resources like this podcast with you to help reach you wherever you are in your life with Jesus. If you'd like to support the ministry of Fellowship Greenville, you can head to fellowshipgreenville.org/give to get started. Thanks so much for your support, and we hope you enjoy today's episode. To embrace a Jesus plus something lifestyle of legalism is to abandon a person, not simply a theological position. To add anything to the simple gospel of grace, the grace of Christ, is to abandon Jesus. The good news of the gospel of Jesus is about a relationship with the God of the universe through his son Jesus. It's not about ritual. It's not about doing good and avoiding bad. It's not about keeping a list of rules. It's not about behavior modification. It's about a real relationship with the God of the universe through his son, Jesus Christ. And this is what Paul taught, and it's what he shared, and it's what he lived, and it's why he is so flabbergasted by the Galatians. There are a few words here that Paul uses in verse 6 and 7. Do you see him? He uses the word deserting, disturbing. Other versions would say troubling you or confusing you, and then the word distorting. I want to give definition to those because I think they're chosen obviously on purpose as being led by the Holy Spirit. He writes, deserting is a military term. It describes a soldier who leaves the army he's fighting for, oftentimes joins the enemy, a traitor, a turncoat. Disturbing carries with it the idea of being mentally agitated, the way you feel when it seems like everything in life is falling apart, the unsettledness of life. Distorting means reversing, to make something the opposite of what it was intended for. And I take just a moment to give you those terms and define them a little bit, because this actually is what the Judaizers of the day were doing with the gospel. And I believe it really is the pattern that legalism follows. So first, distort the gospel. Add in a few things other than Jesus. And that begins to lead to being disturbed or agitated or unsettled, because what you begin to hear from people is, well, maybe I'm missing something. This person says this is the thing. It's Jesus and this. And they seem to be doing pretty well, and I kind of respect them. Am I missing something? And then eventually, turning, deserting the one who called you. And here's the deal. It's not an always in your face, I wanted to give you some rules to weigh you down. Are you interested? Can I give you some rules that'll make you feel really anxious and fearful, or make you an arrogant jerk face? I got some things for you. That's not usually how it plays out, is it? These people that are talking with the Galatians, the Judaizers that are adding to Jesus, please hear me, they don't see themselves as the enemy of Christianity. They think they're actually really good Christians from their perspective, that God is actually very pleased with them. They distort the gospel by adding to it, and it leads to people being troubled or confused. I know the gospel, but I respect this person, and their add-on seems to be working for them. Maybe I should add that on too. And if I add on like they've added on, maybe God will love me more, like me more. And over time, there's and I want to give definition to this, a deserting of the gospel. Now listen carefully. I don't think Paul is articulating that if you're lured by legalism that you lose your salvation. I do believe what he's saying, though, is you lose the true freedom that the gospel brings. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it to the full. Relationship with me. And there really are a lot of people peddling a false gospel, an add-on gospel of Jesus plus something. And as one of your pastors, I would implore you, if you have people in your life that are saying that, that's dangerous relational capital. My encouragement actually would be, don't read it, don't entertain it, don't podcast it, don't seminar it. Don't repost it. I would invite you, if you have relational capital with someone that maybe is one of the pastors here or just someone else in your life that you respect spiritually, you have a conversation with them about it, you think they have a good grasp of the gospel. It's at times so nuanced. Just works its way in. It's not always this over the top thing, like here's the list, you should follow this list. If you don't follow this list, Jesus doesn't love you. Sometimes, yeah. But not oftentimes. Look at verse 8, because Paul kicks it up a notch. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Paul is incredibly dogmatic, and he's using some really strong language. Within just a few verses of this letter, he has officially gotten everybody's attention. This is what Paul says. Paul says, if I come back in a few months and I tell you something different than what I had already told you about Jesus and the gospel, then you can tell me to go to hell. That's what this verse is saying. I said, Jason, that's very strong. It's very strong. Jason, I might have to have a conversation with my kids on the way home. I don't know if the pastor's supposed to say this. Yeah, have the conversation, because when an angel shows up and appears to you in the middle of the night and tells you to believe in Jesus, but you also need to do these other things to be pleasing to God, you can tell the angel the same. Do you see the seriousness of this? Here's why it's so serious. When God raised his son from the grave, he was saying to all of creation, my son's sacrifice is perfect. It is complete. What he has done is absolutely sufficient and acceptable to me. That means there is no plus anything when it comes to Jesus, just Jesus. Or I could ask it this way. Whose work are you going to trust in to make you right with God? Jesus, but then some other things you attempt to do? Jesus, but then some things you're gonna try to avoid? Jesus is great, but what about Jesus in a system that generates guilt and fear and anxiousness and performance and pride? That's where it's at. And you say it out loud, we all kind of go, what? Jason, that sounds so ridiculous. Yeah, but here's the question for us. Why is it so easy to be seduced by the siren song of Jesus plus something? Look at verse 10, because I think Paul tells us. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. We found it. There it is. If you're an underliner or a circler in your Bible, I want you to circle that little five-letter word, S-T-I-L-L, still. This is where you get at the heart of why Paul is so fired up. Paul is so fired up because he has lived the life of legalism. He knows the power and the pull because he was once pulled. And in 2 weeks, Jim's gonna spend some time talking about Paul's past as Paul talks about it here in chapter one. I won't get into all that. But Paul has lived the life of doing and avoiding more than anyone else had ever lived the life of doing and avoiding. And at the heart of it all, according to Paul, was what? The approval of men. At our core, we are, apart from Jesus, we are people pleasers. Apart from Jesus, we are approval addicts. You've heard of the survey of Americans who were asked their greatest fear, and their number one greatest fear was public speaking, followed closely by death. Which means most people are more afraid of speaking at a funeral than being the person talked about at the funeral. You'd rather be up here or down there? Yeah. Why are people so afraid of speaking in front of people? As someone who does it sometimes, we're afraid of what people think about us. You feel this all eyes on you evaluation. How you look, how they speak, did they pronounce it right? But at the core of that is this word, approval. And how do we please people and seek approval? We do that by performance. We do that by earning our way. And here's what we all know. We can all agree to this, I think. We live in a performance-based world. Make the grade, pass the grade, perform well, make the team, impress others, get the job, crush the job, get the promotion. Get the promotion, get the money, get the money, get the status, get the status, get the perks, easier to get people to hang with you. It's all based on approval. And on and on and on it goes. And then we hear the gospel. And it's not based on anything you do. Our approval with God has nothing to do with earning it. And we... most of us, yeah, we love that. We're overwhelmed by it. We so want it to be true. But we also have to acknowledge at times we struggle for it to compute. Because it seems so upside down, and it is upside down in this world that tells you to earn your way. And so at times, if we're not careful, we find ourselves the siren song being pulled back to trying to impress God because we live in a world where we're always trying to impress. And there is an answer for this that Paul talks about. Look back at verse 10. He says, if I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Paul says here to the church of Galatia, he reminds them, I have an audience of one and his name is Jesus, and I will not spend another day or moment trying to win the approval of others. Real quick, need to point it out. Paul does not say that he went from being a people pleaser to being a God pleaser. He doesn't say that. He's saying he went from finding life in what people think about him to finding his life, worth, value, acceptance, significance, approval in Jesus Christ alone, and that's who he now serves. And Paul came to know and believe and live Jesus plus nothing was everything. I don't think he had it on a slide for the Church of Galatia like we have it on a slide here. He knew it, he believed it, he lived it, and when he saw other people who claimed to follow Jesus living something different, man, he was gonna call that out because he had jumped through the hoops of trying to live off the list and approve God. Prove himself to God. He's like, no, not gonna do it. And that is, I think, the reminder for us this morning, or again, maybe hearing it for the first time. Truly embracing grace actually leads to freedom, to life, to godly living. Truly embracing grace leads to freedom, to life, to godly living. Teach messages, often what we're trying to do, like if we were having a conversation over coffee, this would be different, right? I'd say a few things, you'd say a few things, it'd like to be a conversation. But I get that this isn't a conversational setup. I'm up here with a microphone talking, you are all listening. And so when we're working on sermons, I know Jim and Charlie, myself, other guys on the teaching team, like, we do spend time, hey, Spirit of God, would you bring to mind what people might be processing as they're listening to us teach? We can't answer every, I know I'm not gonna get it all, but maybe some of it. Try to think that through. And so sometimes we'll pose questions like, well, maybe people may be thinking this. And I'm just stopping here because I'm gonna guess, even we're 2 weeks into Galatians and everybody's background's different. And some of you, I'm gonna guess, 2 weeks in, you got real questions about what you've heard Charlie and I say over the last 2 weeks. You're going, I don't know about this. Man, this sounds like some cheap grace stuff that you guys are talking about. And like I said, over the next 30 weeks to 7 years as we do this series, I hope that you'll give us the time to continue to unpack this, even next week. Because here's what we would say. The Bible actually teaches that the motivation for godly living, well, it's not a list. It actually is what it is that God has done for us in and through Jesus Christ, period. So truly embracing grace actually leads to freedom, to life, to godly living, while modifying grace leads to bondage and death, an overwhelming anxiousness and fear because you can't measure up, or obnoxious arrogance and pride because you think you do. I wanted to end today with a little bit more on Greek mythology. We'll start and end that way. There was a band of heroes known as the Argonauts. And interestingly enough, they were led by a guy named Jason. Yeah, a mere mortal. He was on the search for the Golden Fleece. And in the story of Jason and the Argonauts, there is also sirens, just as in the Odyssey, and they're dangerous creatures. Same thing, they lure sailors to their doom with their enchanting music and beautiful voices. But as Jason and the crew sailed by the island, they did something different than put wax in their ears and tie their leader to the mast of the ship. Instead, Jason commanded Orpheus, who was the greatest musician of the day, to play the most beautiful music he had ever composed. And so the music of Orpheus filled the hearts and minds and ears of Jason and his crew on the boat as they sailed by the song of the sirens. And they were so caught up in a song more glorious and more beautiful than the siren song that they sailed on by. Now, you all are pretty smart, so you can see where I'm going with this. There is a song that is grace. There is a song that is the unmerited generosity of God towards you and I in and through Jesus Christ. And in a world that plays the song of earn your way, and unfortunately a church culture that often sings the song of Jesus plus something else, we can try to bind ourselves to the mast of our ship. We can try to put wax in our ears. Or we can fill our heart and mind and soul with a song more glorious and more beautiful, the most captivating song of all, the song of grace, the song of Jesus. And in any way I can, I want to keep reminding all of us of this. The church, this church, Fellowship Greenville, we are a people committed to singing the song of grace together. And at times, singing the song of grace over one another, because it needs to be sung over you, and you need to sing it over others. We gather here on Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 to remember it, to sing it. We spend time daily hearing it from the Spirit of God through the Word of God. We step into our community groups to remind one another of it. And from there, we take it into our neighborhoods and our communities and our cities and our schools and our workplaces and our ball teams. that others might hear a different song. A song of freedom and life. A song we sing that says, there is no other gospel.
The Jesus on Display podcast is produced right here at Fellowship Greenville in Greenville, South Carolina. Thanks for listening to today's episode. Follow and share this podcast with anyone who might be interested or curious about our church community or how storytelling unites us and helps us feel more connected. To actively keep up with what's going on at our church, head to our website at fellowshipgreenville.org, follow us on all social media platforms, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Thanks so much for tuning in. Grace and peace to you for your week. We'll see you next time.